Joey, I think a good point to start this discussion is, how overweight does one have to be at first of all to be considered obese?
Right, that's a good question. Yeah, so we went by the CDC guidelines, which is if a child is in the 95th percentile or above for their height and weight, considering their gender and their age. So this is, yeah, the very highest category. This doesn't include kids who are overweight.
Okay, and so one might ask, you know, how are children who live in families that are poor, don't have a lot of money, how are they ending up obese? How are they getting so much food into their bodies? Or is it a combination of bad food and lack of exercise?
Yeah, so it's a combination of a lot of things, I think. There's, of course, the component of food and the quality of food that kids are ingesting.
Yeah.
And also the lack of safe spaces to get physical activity. There can also be a stress component that your body can process foods differently when you're exposed to a lot of stress, as we know a lot of low-income kids and families are.
How were you? Were you surprised at the results of this study?
Not particularly. Having worked in this area, I understand that schools with less resources, schools with high number of poverty, tend to have trouble in a lot of areas in terms of academics, and this sort of expanded that to look at obesity as well.
Is this a wake-up call for us?
I think so. I think it's also an opportunity. Public schools are sort of this opportunity to either minimize or exacerbate inequalities that exist between children and families. And so I think this gives us the opportunity to provide more resources to schools in terms of physical education, in terms of the quality of food that's being served there, that can really actually help children that may be more disadvantaged within their home and community.
Well, we saw kind of a beginning of this recently in the White House from Michelle Obama with her nationwide initiative. But at the same time, we also saw significant pushback from a parent saying, you know, my kids don't want to eat this. Don't be pushing this different kind of foods on my children. How do we get somewhere in between where everybody's on the same page here?
So I think there are some great opportunities like community gardens and things like that can get kids actively involved in healthy foods and allow them to sort of make choices and try new things. So I think that's one aspect of it. Another is just having a large variety of healthy choices within schools, and so not limiting it. We all know kids can be picky for sure. So allowing a large variety for them to try and be exposed to healthy foods, but not limiting their choices.
Yeah, the study, though, did make it clear that poverty, not race, was driving this outcome.
We looked at both, and while there's a high correlation between those two, once we looked at the poverty at the school level, there was no longer an effect of the racial composition at the school.
Well, you know, more research is needed to understand the differences in urban and rural obesity rates. What kind of a different research are we talking about here other than what you've already done in this study?
One of the things is that when we think about poverty, a lot of times we think of urban areas, we think of inner cities and things like that, but there's actually a lot of poverty and food insecurity in rural areas. And I think we understand those areas less. And so I think more research needs to be done to better understand what sort of resources are there, what sort of opportunities. We know, for example, that there's a lack of infrastructure in terms of less public transportation. Grocery stores tend to be much farther apart. And so things like that, really understanding the context in which these children in rural areas live and what poverty and food access looks like for them, which may be very different from urban areas.
Yeah, so I guess,
so I think a lot still needs to be done there.
Joy Piontak is a research analyst at Duke University's Center for Child and Family Policy. She co-authored the article with Michael D. Shulman, professor at NC State University. North Carolina children who live in rural counties or attend high poverty schools are more likely to be obese. So, Professor, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Scott.